My name is Kate Cumming, and I work in the digital record keeping team at State Records. Emma and I are the digital record keeping team, and we've just produced some guidelines on social media information management strategies. So that's what I'm here to talk to you about today. What I wanted to really emphasise today is the fact that social media is really important. It's still got a bad name. It's still associated with Kim Kardashian, but it's a really important evolving form of business communication that we really do need to be responsive to. And I've got a couple of quick case studies that I'd like to share with you to demonstrate that fact. The first comes from the Queensland Police Force, and it's a really useful case based on a really useful case study they've got up on their website. And the case study takes you through their implementation of a social media strategy. They established their social media presence back in May 2010. In November 2010, they had 8,000 likes of their Facebook page and 1,000 Twitter followers. On January 10, 2011, there were flash floods in Toowoomba and the Lockyer Valley in Queensland. Suddenly on that day, they had 18,000 likes on their Facebook page. In the 24 hours following the flash floods, their likes grew to 100,000, and more significantly, there were 450 views per second of the QPS Facebook page. That's 450 people a second going to their site to get accurate, up-to-date, authoritative information. By February 2011, the QPS Facebook page had 180,000 likes. Likes are an incredibly crude measure of calculating and quantifying the value of these social media presences, but that's a massive leap. The media relied constantly on the QPS social media updates. People who were stranded and isolated in flood districts relied on those Facebook updates. Police in those disaster areas relied fundamentally on knowing what was going on in their own area, which was provided by the Facebook updates. The myth-busting hashtag that the police force used stopped a whole host of rumours, misinformation, damaging information in its tracks. And they provided 24/7 moderation and inquiries response on their Facebook page, showing to people across Queensland who were stricken by these flood situations, we're here, we're providing information, this is current, accurate, the information you need to get you through this disaster scenario. So that's my first case study on social media management. My second comes from earlier this year from the Rural Fire Service. On the 8th of January 2013, the Rural Fire Service Facebook page had 27.6 million impressions, views on the 8th of January. It was trending fourth globally on Twitter, the RSS Twitter feed. The Fires Near Me app was the number one app on the App Store that day. And the real importance of these case studies and the real potential of social media is demonstrated by their key role and the key position that they have within the New South Wales ICT strategy that Dawn and Sonia were talking about, and the New South Wales Government social media policy and guidelines, which are soon to be released by Department of Finance and Services as well. So government is really recognising this stuff is important. We're putting it in policy. We're putting it in strategy. All our organisations are implementing it. And why they're implementing it, I think, is shown by this graphic, which comes from that Queensland Police Force case study that I was talking about earlier. This amazing trajectory here, this is where government is meeting the community, where government is really, this is what the community needs. This is the information they need, the services they need. Social media is the mechanism whereby government meets the community, provides the information that the community needs. I saw that last night. I thought, wow, that's a great graphic because that really demonstrates the impact, the potential impact of social media. It's an extreme example. It's a disaster management example. But I think it really does demonstrate the base point that social media is a key component of government being able to meet community needs, leverage community information, and become a better government as a consequence. So that's why State Records has developed some guidelines on social media management. We did a survey last year to ask government agencies how many of you are using social media. 80% said we're using social media. It would be more now. And people are using it, government organisations are using it. Information is being created and generated here. When social media is being rolled out, there's lots of discussions within organisations. Oh, okay, well, we need to train staff because staff need to know what they can and can't post. We need to moderate comments. We need to field what the public says. There's lots of controls and structures and policy and guidelines around the use of social media, what we're seeing is that there isn't a lot of guidance and structure around the information risks that are posed by social media. So what State Records has done has developed guidelines to meet those information risks. What are the information risks? How do you mitigate them? How do you leverage this incredible resource that's being rolled out in your organisation? So my topic today is what you need to do to implement effective social media record keeping in your organisation. And my first recommendation, the first recommendation within the guideline, is that you need to firstly understand the specific information risks that apply to social media. I think now these are generally quite well understood, but we start the guidelines with this, just to flag the key points that social media, when we're using social media systems, these systems are third-party owned systems, they're based in the cloud, they're owned by big corporations in the US, overseas, managed by these organisations. Any information we put within those systems is subject to the control and ownership of somebody else. Because they're owned by somebody else, because they're commercial products, they're subject to change and vulnerability quite frequently. They're not designed to manage our information for us. They're designed to disseminate our information, to scale to extraordinary levels so that millions and millions of people can access our information. They offer outstanding functionality, but records management, information management, isn't part of that functionality. It's not what they're designed to do. That's our responsibility. And social spaces are also public spaces, so we don't have complete control over this environment. We have to interact with the public, work with the public, have a dialogue with the public, moderate the public to a certain extent in these environments. So just to be very aware, great, great systems, but they're not information management systems. They're in the cloud, accessed by anybody, subject to change, can disappear overnight. So use these systems first and fundamentally with that awareness in mind. I love a tip, so sorry, I've got lots of tips throughout the presentation today. First tip number one is to not panic. When you think of your own social media implementations, they may be, our survey last year showed that each social media implementation pretty much in New South Wales government is very diffuse. Most organisations are using three or more social media channels, so people are using a lot of different technologies to get their social media message across. First tip is don't panic about all of this cloud-based, third-party owned, diffuse, broad, large implementation. Information management in this context, it's risk management. It's based on the fact of, okay, I need to be pragmatic. What do I need to make and manage in these environments? You don't need to keep everything in these environments. Some social media information just isn't important. Some is critically important, and you'll need to develop a strategy for that, but be prepared to let stuff go. And it's sad that we have to use ourselves as an example here, but the future-proof strategy that Cassie was talking about earlier. We run a fairly active Twitter profile as part of that, but we also have a Facebook page, which is really just a copy and paste from our Twitter profile. We don't at this stage have the resources to manage both, so we've prioritised Twitter as our key communication mechanism, and Facebook just has, it's a copy and paste of whatever we say on Twitter gets copy and pasted onto our Facebook profile. So we've got a fairly active and robust record-keeping strategy around our Twitter implementation. Facebook, not so much so. We rely on Facebook to keep that information up there for us. If it all goes pear-shaped, not so great of a risk. We have the records we believe we need in our Twitter archive. So in terms of the next step of what you need to do to implement effective social media record-keeping, you really need to know what your organisation is doing with social media. And in the guidelines, we've issued the exposure draft, we're currently building the final draft on that based on the feedback we've received to date. A key recommendation is to survey your organisation. Really know what your organisation is doing with social media. Really go out and talk to people. And we've included some useful case studies in the next iteration of the guidance from Victoria Uni in Melbourne and the Smithsonian in the US, where they've gone and done a really comprehensive appraisal strategy across their organisations. Okay, What are you using? What are you using it for? And really developing a great and comprehensive profile of social media use, social media risk, social media information across their organisations. Both of these organisations have talked about the benefits of doing this in conjunction with others, doing this as part of a process where you're liaising with IT, with web people, with legal people, with business people. There's a mass of people within your organisations who have a role and a stake in social media. Teaming together seems to be the advice on how to get out there in the organisation and develop a comprehensive information governance strategy, a comprehensive approach to social media management. And each of these organisations too has developed a hub or a registry of social media sites that their organisation is using. They're not necessarily trying to control or regulate. They want to know, so they're developing a complete set of who's doing what. Oh, okay, marketing's got this Twitter account and this Facebook account. Ah, you guys in Bird Research are doing this. So they're developing this complete set, which the Smithsonian makes public as a guide for people to navigate through their Smithsonian online presences to manage information, but also as that public profile exercises as well. And my next tip as part of this is to think really big with these things. Survey all your business areas, because with social media, because it's so diffuse, because it's often an individual who's passionate about a project or a form of technology, it can be incredibly widespread across your organisation. So what both Victoria and the Smithsonian do, and what we are recommending in the guideline, is to really just find out who's using what, particularly why are they using it? What do they see as the business purpose of this? This leads us back into better assessments of risk, a better identification of the types of information and business processes that might be moving from internal systems to external systems, really trying to get an idea of why they're doing this. How many accounts are there? Rogue accounts, talking to quite a few large organisations about their social media presences, rogue accounts seems to be a very large issue, whereby in a big organisation someone thinks, oh, we should have a Twitter account about this, or we should be more proactive with this. So some large universities, they've found all sorts of people tweeting under the name of their university because various individuals have thought, oh, there's a gap there, I better fill that. And so when you get multiple different people all tweeting under an official-looking governmental organisation title, you do need to manage that. That is a risk, and that is a risk that can be mitigated by this type of approach. And also getting a good idea at this particular point in time of account governance, who uses it, who can access this account. Details of the other thing with social media, it is often logins are restricted to one or two people, and so documenting that, knowing who can access this, how do I extract records of this, how do I manage the information within this is useful at this particular point in time. And when I was writing Think Big, I was also thinking that often when we hear the words social media, we think Twitter and Facebook, but social media is an incredibly large group of technologies and a very rapidly increasing form of technology that we're noting across government is the use of wikis. And wikis are a form of social media, a form of business collaboration, ideas exchange, incredibly valuable tools for all sorts of business development. But if you don't get the governments, the governance, the rules, the requirements set up within those wikis, if you don't know about the development of those wikis, the particular individuals or teams who are using those wikis can set all the security controls. You'll never know that it exists. You'll never know that all the project documentation is maintained in that wiki. You'll never have security rights to get in and utilise or copy that information unless you know that stuff is there, know who has set it up, know who has the governance of that account. Whole projects can go by and you'll never have a record of what was done. It won't surprise a lot of the local government people in the room that wikis are very popular with engineering departments, we've heard across the local government sector, because they have great control over the information, but there's very little corporate governance in those types of environments. So thinking big, thinking about wikis and establishing whether they're being utilised in your organisation is really critical. Once you've done that, the next step to establishing effective, good information and record keeping practice across your social media environment is to put all that together and establish a governance framework to help identify what information has been moving to social media environments in your organisation, who's doing it, what information needs to be managed from that. And what I think this involves is really a mapping of the particular types of business that are moving to social media channels. Mapping of the information that's used as a support for that business that's moving to these channels. Really thinking about what clients need from that information. What are their expectations? How are they thinking their information that they're providing to you is going to be used? What are the accountabilities that you have in this space? Part of developing a governance framework is to really be cognizant and factor in assessment of risk into these different assessments. How risky is this? Do we need to be worried about this? This is minor. This is major. This is significant. Not so significant. Let's focus our attentions here, and I'll discuss some more on that in a moment. Really thinking about retention requirements as a way of prioritising your assessments. So looking at your disposal authorities, identifying, oh, this stuff we need to keep for 20 years. This is now in Facebook. Facebook isn't probably going to keep it for us for 20 years. I'd say this is a priority area of important information that we do need to develop a strategy to bring in-house and to utilise. An assessment of corporate information needs should also be a component of these discussions, because what we're finding with social media too is, as fantastic a communication mechanism as it can be a real siloization of business information. Business information that may once have been internal within internal business systems, internal discussions, is now external and is much the richer for that, but isn't necessarily being brought back into corporate decision-making frameworks. It's not necessarily being shared with all the business people within the organisation who may need to share it. So what are the information needs? How can we as records people plug that gap? How do we minimise the siloisation? How do we share the information that needs to be shared? And part of developing the governance framework is selecting the appropriate range of record-keeping options. What are tools that we can try? What are tools, what are strategies, options that we can implement in social media frameworks to make and keep records and integrate them within our business? And I'll look at some examples soon. And also, what rules need to be developed, particularly in relation to wiki frameworks? How do you have what requirements are needed to support particular wiki implementations, general wiki implementations, general social media implementations? What's needed by the organisation to make sure you have an accountable, usable, viable information asset from your social media exchanges? So, tip number three. Ways of determining risk. How do I know? We get asked this question quite a lot, and I'm really happy to have discussion on this because there are no hard and fast rules. It is a challenging, complex area to try to determine. How do I know what's high risk, what's low risk? Where should I be prioritising? What do I need to keep? What do I not need to keep? And it's really being very aware of your organisation's business operations and information needs, and you guys are in prime positions to understand that, to know how information flows work across your organisation and know how those flows may need to be translated into these social media environments. And so the questions you ask here are very similar to the types of questions you would ask when doing a standard business system assessment. It's just a business system based in a social media landscape. But you're looking at issues like, is it high risk or strategic or core business that's moving to these environments? Are we communicating decisions? Are we committing ourselves to things? Are there business processes which previously we've had workflows and business systems to manage, but now those workflows have been superseded by these social media exchanges? Are traditional business processes, which were well regulated, now moving out to these environments? Will the community or will our internal reporting processes rely on social media information? If so, we will probably need to develop some kind of records-keeping strategy to bring information out of the social landscape into our business systems. Do we want to reuse this stuff? Is there good information that we will want to leverage and reuse and repost and develop into different types of information products? If so, we should have a record-keeping strategy. Will we ever need to account for what we've said? Is it likely that there'll be some kind of complaint or investigation coming from some of the exchanges on our social media presences? If so, we probably need a record-keeping strategy. Which brings me to tip number four. When you're looking for that record-keeping strategy, select systems and processes that meet your needs. The various assessments going through this process that you will have done will hopefully give you a good understanding of what types of social media platforms are being used, why they're being used, who's using them, the types of information that are within them. Select systems that really meet your specific inquiry, your specific requirements. You really need to focus on your requirements, not so much on compliance. The driver shouldn't be, the State Records Act says we need a record of all of it. That is a driver, but it shouldn't be your core driver. What you should really be focused on is, okay, based on my assessments, this business area needs this information now to report to the minister in a month's time, for annual reporting in a year's time. It has inquiries that it needs to feed that data in, which we usually get 3-5 years down the track. This business area needs this information. This is the best solution that's going to give me the capacity to take it out of the social, integrate it into the business process. So really thinking about information as an asset, information as corporate intelligence, information being generated in these environments as a new form of energised information that you're feeding back into your business process, not just creating a dump that can sit in the EDRMS, but real active information. So considering strategies that will enable you to do that. And you're likely to find that you'll probably need different record-keeping strategies for different social media channels. A lot of the tools and options that are out there are configured to one or two types of social media applications, not necessarily everything that you're using. So it's possible you'll need to look at different options. Now, in the guidelines that we've developed, we've got quite a list of the various different social media information extraction solutions that we're aware of at the moment, and a list of the pros and cons of each of those. The guidelines are on our future-proof page. I've got a URL at the end. And so they take you through everything that we're aware of. We'd love to hear if you guys know of any other solutions, good ones, bad ones, that we should be adding to the list. We're meeting with some of the EDRMS vendors over the next few weeks. They're developing offerings in this area to expand some of the systems that are on the government contracts at the moment, expand those so that they have better capacity to capture social media records, which is great. We're trying to liaise quite a lot with some new vendors who are developing tools in this space. Everything they're developing at this stage is still vaporware, it's called, which is an excellent term for something that doesn't exist, but they're working on creating products to make and keep records in this space. So this is a really evolving area, but we've tried to capture as much knowledge as we can at this stage in the guidelines as to tools that are out there. So if you have a corporate Facebook page, what are some record-keeping scenarios that you could be looking at for that? There are lots of options. I would recommend that you have a look at the guidelines and work through some of the options there. One option is leave it. Leave it as we've done with the future-proof Facebook page. We don't regard it as lovely as it is. We don't regard it as a core record. It's not where our priority is at the moment. We don't have the resources to devote to adequate record keeping there. So we leave it on Facebook, trust Facebook to manage it. That's fine for that kind of duplicate information that we've got there. If Facebook, like New South Wales Police, like Queensland Police, like a lot of government agencies, is your key communication area where most of your transactions are going on, that wouldn't be an appropriate strategy. There are lots of record-keeping solutions which are based on a backup methodology, which are based on the premise that if Facebook or Twitter crash or die tomorrow, I'll have a backup of the data that I can use as my record of the data. They are based very much on backup type notions. The information is the same as the information that Cassie presented, or very similar to the information that Cassie presented for the machine-readable form of OpenGov. It's a big stream of information that's machine-readable, that's capable of being fed back into your systems and regenerated if everything goes kaput. But it's not user-friendly. It's not accessible. It's not the easiest way for business to make and use this information. So those types of solutions exist, but they may not be the best to meet your business needs. There are other more attractive options in terms of creating a more user-friendly form of record, Social Safe, Archive Social. They export from a variety of social media applications. But again, you need to explore each of these options in relation to your own particular business context. We've tried to give you as many options as we can come up with. I think it'll be a tailored approach for each organisation as to what best meets your business needs. One of the strategies we've been looking at is the use of monitoring tools, social media monitoring tools. A lot of organisations are using these because they help you to track your social media presence. They help to assess what the community is saying about you. They help you to demonstrate how far a tweet that you've issued has reached or how many likes you've had on your Facebook page. They monitor the impact of your social media presence. That type of tool, which serves a dual business and record keeping benefit, has a lot of appeal because it's not just record keeping for record's sake. It's not just creating a temporary business record. It's creating something that has real meaning for both business and information management. So I like that type of record. But again, the tools they're evolving in this space. I was talking to Transport last week, and they use a monitoring tool. But the tools, they're struggling to keep up with requirements. We're all struggling in this space. It's all evolving. It's an exciting time to be around and involved in all of this, but everything is evolving. And Transport's got the issues where it wants to do all this monitoring to find out, like this morning, problems with trains, problems with buses, public reaction to all of these things. But a lot of the monitoring tools don't have geocoding capacities. They don't have the ability to note where tweets are being issued from. And so they're having to follow terms. They're having to rely on people tweeting with the hashtag Sydney buses, because if they follow the hashtag buses, they get buses from around the world, tweets relating to buses from everywhere, trains from everywhere. So they're relying on members of the public to tweet using the hashtag Sydney buses, Sydney trains, STA, that type of specific thing. But people don't tweet like that. They reckon they'd probably get 1 in 10 tweets. They're missing a very large proportion of the tweets because the tools don't have the sophistication to narrow in on that. Even though each tweet produces an amazing amount of metadata. It's 80, 100 metadata elements per tweet. So the capacity of a tool to leverage that, to provide someone with a reporting tool that lets them know, they may have just said train, but they mean Sydney train. So liaising with vendors is something that we're trying to do, and part of the ICT strategy, that's all part of that broader initiative too, to build better tools as we're going through. Sorry, got a bit sidetracked there. reporting tools. A lot of the social media applications come with their own inbuilt reporting tools like Facebook. You can leverage those. ICT tends to use those quite a lot as a form of monitoring that social media presence. If they exist, can they be used to meet business needs, meet information needs? Looking, assessing, considering what's there, what's best going to meet everybody's needs, not just focusing on it from a compliance state record says perspective. As important as everything that state record says is, of course. And other record keeping scenarios, I've just pulled a couple of scenarios out here. We provide quite a lot of discussion about record keeping options for each form of social media in the guidelines. In relation to keep dropping the podcast thing. I'm not very good at being tethered to one spot. Record keeping scenarios for wikis. One of the big things we've found with talking to a lot of people across government who use wikis is they either do or don't have export capacities. And quite a lot of people are using wiki technologies that don't have export capacities. And that means the capacity to export information, to take information out of the application. You find that quite a lot with apps too. A lot of apps don't necessarily have native export functionality. So it's really quite critical to get people to understand in your organisation, please only use stuff with export capacity. You need that information. The technology may be owned by somebody else, but you need the capacity to take the information out of there. Also, checking the formats of export. Some wikis only export in those machine-readable formats that we've talked about before, and that's still your information. If that's as good as you can get, that's okay. You can do stuff with that. You can process that so that it is displayed in more accessible and public-friendly forms. But can you generate it in different forms that are easier for you to use and integrate with your business processes? With wikis too, what do you want to export? When do you want to export? Excuse me, sorry. They tend to be used with for projects, for project-based implementations, sharing information across a few offices, sharing up-to-date current comments, current thoughts on projects and issues. When do you want to export that? Do you want to do it regularly? Do you want to do it at the end of the project? Making sure that you can export comments and feedback and not just the documents that are inserted into the wiki, but you want the dialogue as well. Thinking quite broadly about the record, do you want to know which business areas were able to see particular documentation? Do you want the process stuff, the security stuff? To what extent is all of this an important part of the record? Really making users understand in these more dynamic and user-controlled social media systems the core importance of the information they're generating to the organisation, not just now but down the track. A lot of the engineering and other types of really core project management that's going on within wiki environments has very long-term resonance for organisations and for the government. So really making sure people understand that and don't lock it away. Oh, it's my information. I determine. You may now, that may be appropriate within the project, but it's also the business information, it's government information, what's important and making sure the team understands that. In terms of emerging drivers for better governance in this space, there's a whole host of emerging drivers, and it's really because there is such value here, there's such community value, business value. There's a real recognition of the potential use of social media. But in terms of drivers for better governance and better record keeping, there's emerging case law about social media systems and inappropriate comments that people have posted on, that members of the public have posted on corporate and government social media sites, whereby the government agency and the corporation has been fined for that, for allowing inappropriate comment on their websites. So there's starting to be emerging case law, which is always a driver for better record keeping, for better information control, for better management and corporate governance of these sites. And so that's useful for us, having this emerging case law saying, look, you need to have a better idea of what's going on your site and need to manage it appropriately. E-discovery is also an emerging driver, coming primarily from the US but working its way here. Any form of information is discoverable under e-discovery legislation. They're having a lot of difficulty in applying e-discovery to social media sites because of that lack of corporate governance, because of a lack of awareness of where all the social media sites are, who are the owners of these different social media accounts, how do we get this information without having to issue a subpoena to an individual. All of these are drivers for better overall corporate governance of social media. In terms of what seems to be working for a number of organisations who are fairly advanced at social media and tend to have good frameworks in place, what we're seeing is specificity is working for a lot of people, and that means having specific Twitter handles or Facebook pages for particular aspects of your business, rather than just having a general at State Records account whereby we tweet everything through that. Having more granular, specific accounts for, okay, this project or this team or this event, that fits in well with our notion of functions, of business, of different values applying to different types of records. Oh, this area is important, high risk, it needs a different strategy. And that really seems to be playing out in the social media space as well. So again, that works quite well for us if your organisations are using that approach whereby they're recognising the value that comes from specificity. And also considering retention at the outset, we've had quite a few people say to us that it has been useful knowing that, okay, this social media account is about, we do a lot of emergency management here. We've got our disposal authority says we have to keep this stuff for 25 years. That's been a real driver for us to be able to get a decent record-keeping strategy implemented here, because the organisation recognises the legal challenges we've had in the past. They're much more responsive about why we need to manage these tweets, why these broadcasts to this community in relation to this matter are important. To have effective record keeping in this space, it's important to have a policy. It's important to have that big picture signed off, to outline to staff what their responsibilities are, outline to the public what their responsibilities are on your website, what you'll tolerate, what you won't tolerate, what will be removed if it's put up there. In these policies, outlining record keeping is really important. Saying we will make and keep records of our social media business, and making policy available online. Social media exchanges are all online. It's really important, if it's possible, to have your social media policies online. And we have a few examples in the guidelines, and we've put some more examples in there of possible draft policies, which you're very welcome to cut and paste from, of how you say these things and how you express our record-keeping needs. Last tip, we're nearly there, is really factoring in privacy. Privacy by design where possible within your social media frameworks. It's when, for just about everyone's social media strategies, there'll be components of your social media business where you will need to make and keep records of what's going on, where you'll have transactions that are going on in your social spaces, and you'll need to capture records in your systems of those exchanges where people are giving you important stuff you need to know. In your policy, it's really important to tell people where appropriate, where we need it, we are going to be making and keeping records of our social media business. People have a right to know that you'll be capturing, because by the nature of social media, you have to capture some of their personal information through capturing these records. So it's important to have a public statement about that. And where possible, the Smithsonian really advocates that it's important to minimise the amount of personal information that you will keep from these exchanges. They're very conscious about not capturing records of followers, of not capturing the personal information that they don't need to. Obviously, this has to be a case-by-case scenario. You may have real business drivers why you need to know certain information, but it's worth flagging, it's worth being aware of, where possible, building in privacy by design and not just having an all-encompassing strategy, but what do we need and what about individuals do we not need? And the final component to developing an effective social media strategy is really to be ever alert. It's a rapidly changing environment. Systems that you have in place today will change, will evolve. They're active business systems. The community can change how they use them. You can change how you use them. Your business processes will change. Your information needs will change. Your accountability needs will change. So always checking in and revising and assessing and managing how your record-keeping strategies work. In the exposure draft of the guidelines so far, the changes in response to the comments that we've had so far that we're making are that we're doing a mini and a maxi version. At State Records, we're excellent at maxi versions of things. We're trying to do a mini version of the, what's the core message? If you have to communicate with business, with your communications team, what's the core principles you want to get across about information risks and information management in this space? We're building in explicit connections to the New South Wales ICT social media policy. More discussion about legal issues, about defamation and emerging case law that's happened in this space. More sample documentation and policy documentation, more FAQs, and we'd love more feedback, comments. What's useful? What's not useful? What do you want to know? What are issues you're grappling with? Do you have a brilliant case study that we can utilise and we can promote? The frequently asked questions, I won't go through all of these. These are some of the ones we're covering. Can we use LinkedIn for government business? How long do we need to keep social media records for? Are social media records really records? Can I just delete rude or inappropriate posts? Do our social media records need to look like they did online? Do analytic tools serve record-keeping purposes? So just in conclusion, just having worked on social media for a little bit now, it's just, I think it really is a fantastic example of what records management, what record keeping, what information management can really do. It just shows, I think, just how relevant the services we provide are to our business organisations. Just how record keeping can really assist with challenging, complex, emerging, high-risk business situations. How record keeping can genuinely manage risk. Just how record keeping can offer significant business advantage through identifying information, leveraging information, making sure information is there as a corporate asset and capturing that long-term value information so that it's there for your organisation. You see in corporate social media strategies, none of that is really considered in this first iteration of the massive push out into the social space. It's really record keepers, information managers, records managers who bring that value add to these social media exchanges. So I think it's a really tremendous opportunity to engage with a whole host of people across your organisation who, from our experience at State Records, are really thirsty for your expertise. So we'd really like to make the guidelines as useful for you as possible. So please don't hesitate to give us any kind of feedback on them. To get the guidelines, if you haven't seen them, they're on the Future Proof page. Please email through any feedback whatsoever. Comments are meant to close this Friday, so if you can read them quickly, that'd be great. But comments after that would be lovely as well. And I'm happy to take any additional questions now. So thank you.
Basically answering those questions, like, oh, yeah, we get all these comments. Some of them are rude comments. Delete them. Are they that important? That's the main thing.
Yeah. Well, it's an emerging. The question was about inappropriate comments on your social media sites. What you should do with them. The advice in the guidelines at present, in the draft guidelines, is delete them. Is the current guidance in there? But we've been investigating and been told more about defamation law and how there are increasing amounts of prosecutions under defamation legislation and advertising standards legislation, all sorts of different forms of legislation. And so possibly a more rigorous record-keeping strategy based on risk is what we're going to recommend in the final version of the guidance, because there is more emerging case law. So in a lot of situations, there's good precedence. If you have a good policy that says, we're going to delete anything that's rude. We're going to, if you're being just offensive to someone, we're getting rid of that. Then your policy gives you the authority, we say in the guidance, to destroy stuff. But where there's risks of legal challenges, we've got some examples about where you may want to make and keep records rather than just purging stuff initially. Yep. Abdallah's asking about the development of more tools, more robust tools to capture records of your social media exchanges. There is a lot of movement in the area. We are liaising with a few vendors who are very keen to get products to market fairly quickly, because there is such an active need. We have had meetings with the main EDRMS vendors, and we're meeting again with them shortly about what they're offering in this space. So we're trying to explain to as many vendors and potential developers as possible what the record keeping requirements are, what the State Records Act says, what business needs are, so that more appropriate tools can be used. A lot of the issues with the current tools that we've listed in the guidelines, it's just the state of the maturity of the technology. They're very much copy and paste. They're very much giving you, all right, this is what your transaction looked like, or this is a backup of your social media exchange. Then you have to manually download those, capture those into a business system, manually tag them with metadata. They come with very minimal metadata. So we're trying to encourage more intuitive metadata capture, more automated metadata capture, leveraging the information that's there already surrounding a lot of these social media exchanges. What does government need in that space? So we're, yes, working with as many people as we can to try and encourage the development of better tools. Thanks very much, Elsie.